Welcome to another episode of Disrupt. I'm HHCN editor Bob Holly. In just a second, you're going to hear my conversation with David A. Bell, chairman and CEO of Grand Care Health Services, located in Southern California. But first, a quick word from Homecare Homebase, the folks who help make this podcast possible. Looking to build physician partnerships and increase home health referrals? How about expanding in new locations through mergers and acquisitions? Homecare Homebase helps growing agencies of all sizes streamline processes and enhance interoperability with a flexible blueprint for long-term success. We'll help you attract top talent and enhance clinical care with expert tools that allow clinicians to complete required documentation in the home, not after hours. We could also tackle revenue cycle management for you, giving you more time to focus on the patients and families who need you. Grow your business with the number one industry leader. To learn more, go to hchb.com/growhomehealth. All right, so why did I want to talk to the CEO of Grand Care Health Services? For starters, Grand Care considers itself a home health specialist, as it has increasingly prioritized the orthopedic rehab space over the years. That route of specialization has led to solid business growth, but it also meant Grand Care has had to deal with some rough patches during the COVID-19 pandemic. On top of its business model, Grand Care has also been recognized as a great place to work, and it just sold its non-medical home care division to Market Peer 24-Hour Home Care. Oh, another reason I wanted to speak with David Bell? His very, very unique background outside of the home health space. Let's get into all that and more in just a second. I'm with Grand Care Health Services CEO David Bell. David, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks very much, Bob. Appreciate it.
All right. To start, can you maybe tell our listeners and myself a little bit about yourself and Grand Care? How long have you guys been around for?
Well, Grand Care has been around since 2003. I've been involved for about the last 10 years. I guess, like a lot of people, I kind of got involved with Grand Care and my current work sort of accidentally. Over the last 20 plus years, I've been running private equity owned companies mostly. And almost everything I've done over the last, say, 35 years has been focused on that nexus between technology and finding ways to help people. So Grand Care interested me, and I initially became involved as an investor. And then in 2017, I was made the CEO. At that time, Grand Care was a good company from a quality standpoint, but financially was in some distress. They were unprofitable and shrinking. And so it made, you know, sense for someone like me who has done this for a living for the last 20 plus years to come in and try to help keep the good part without, you know, while fixing the bad part. My PhD was focused on rehabilitation engineering. So it was an area that wasn't completely unknown to me. I, you know, had to dust off some of my old books and stuff to get up to speed, but it was an area that has interested me for a long time. Since then, I have been focusing on, you know, I lived in India for a while and built a factory that makes electric vehicles, still is one of the largest producers of electric vehicles. I have been involved in building apps for bird watchers. I've been involved in water treatment plant projects, running laboratories. So kind of a variety of different businesses. But what they all have in common is that, you know, again, that nexus between technology and trying to help, you know, make people's lives better.
That has a lot to unpack. I thought we were going to, you know, predominantly stick to home care, just, you know, for our listeners tuning in. I had no idea that you had such an interesting background in addition to just building Grand Care. I kind of want to follow up on the bird watching apps really quick. What kind of got you started in that?
You know, I've been interested in birds since I was a little kid. And, you know, I think around 10 or 11, I was a volunteer when I was a Cub Scout in a local nature center, and they had a little stuffed bird, and I can still remember, and it's still there. It was called at that time a rufous-sided towhee. And I said, "Hey, you know, Mickey, who's a guy who ran the place, you know, what is that?" And he said, "Oh, it's a rufous-sided towhee. These things are common around here." And I remember as a little 10-year-old, I got mad at that. "That's not possible. This is my park. I know every inch of this park. I've never seen one of those things." He's like, "Yeah, whatever, kid. They're common. Go find one." And that was the spark that just got me interested. And, you know, if you flash forward now, you know, kind of nights and weekends, I've worked on birds and bird apps ever since then. And I'm, you know, proud to be associated with building some of the most widely used apps among bird watchers in the world now. eBird Mobile, which I think almost any bird watcher in the United States would recognize the name, is an app that I created.
All right. Well, I just have to quickly mention before we keep moving that last summer, I actually rescued a yellow-bellied woodpecker from the street right outside my apartment in Chicago. And apparently those are very rare. So I was pretty proud of myself for doing that.
Good for you. Yellow-bellied sapsucker. Yep.
All right. Well, I wanted to connect with you and learn more about Grand Care Health Services for a couple of reasons. One, you've kind of gotten the reputation as a best-in-class employer. Two, you recently completed a deal with 24-hour home care. And three, you're not really your typical home health provider. Could you talk a little bit about that and the areas of care that you really specialize in?
Sure. Yeah, we don't think of ourselves or refer to ourselves as a home health provider. And we are pretty different than most home health providers. In some ways, I think we're kind of a combination of a startup and a in-home rehabilitation provider. We focus exclusively on optimizing the in-home care of orthopedic patients. And, you know, although it isn't sexy, we believe that there's a ton of value in just optimizing how that works. So we've invested over $1 million, which for us, a company our size, is a lot of money over the last couple of years in developing proprietary technology for delivering better care, earning better quality scores, streamlining back office processes. And, you know, that stuff all just kind of adds up. It makes our employees' lives better and it makes our patient outcomes better. So we believe that there is, you know, life's too short to be sort of mediocre at a bunch of things. And our mission in life is to be the best at one thing. And that is kind of contrary to the way the whole home health industry works. Home health businesses are 99% generalists, and that is not our approach.
Has that always been the operating model for Grand Care, or was that maybe part of the turnarounds when you kind of came to the top of the organization?
I mean, it's a little bit of both, but when I first became the CEO of the company, we were certainly a generalist. We had, I mean, it's no joke to say that we probably had more than 10 businesses. We had a hospice business and a VIP shift nursing business and a bunch of other stuff, detox and lots of stuff. And, you know, it's just hard to run a lot of businesses and be good at all of them, you know, when they're all kind of subscale and all trying to grow. Now, we were at that time good at orthopedic rehabilitation. We, you know, had some good relationships and it was a sizable percentage of our total business. But since then, basically that part of our business has been growing because we've been focusing on it. And slowly over time, we've been shutting down all the other parts of our business.
And can you maybe just walk me through a little bit more how Grand Care has grown over the years? You know, where are you at today in terms of number of patients, for example? How does that compare to maybe pre-pandemic times?
Sure. So, you know, we obviously got hit pretty hard in 2020. There, you know, were shutdowns of elective surgeries, but currently we are operating at record levels in terms of referrals and patient admissions. Obviously, the mix of those patients has completely changed. If you look over the last 5-year period, 5 years ago, that was maybe 35, 40% orthopedic, and now it's north of 90% orthopedic. So our orthopedic business has grown, you know, roughly in revenue terms, has grown 15 to 20% a year, with the exception of 2020. But for 2021, we're pretty much back on trend. And the rest of our business has been sold off or shut down over that same time frame. So top line hasn't changed that much over the last 5 years, but the composition of that revenue has changed dramatically over that time.
And, you know, all home health providers have been impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic in a variety of ways, from staffing to volume swings, regulatory changes. But I imagine as really focusing on those hip and knee patients, so to speak, the pandemic must have been really, really impactful for Grand Care, considering there were all the delays in elective procedures. How disruptive was that in 2020? And then have you seen that volume return?
Yeah, so it was extremely disruptive. And fortunately for us, I think that we were a little bit ahead of the curve in terms of anticipating that there was going to be a problem you know, we were able to buy masks and do the stuff that we needed to do to be ready. But, you know, still at the end of the day, 80% of our revenue went away when the elective surgeries were shut down. That was certainly not a situation in which it was helpful to be a orthopedic specialist. And I have to be honest, I had a lot of sleepless nights, and there were some periods at the very beginning there before the government provided aid, like PPP and so on, that I didn't know if we were going to make it, because I saw what was coming and it wasn't clear how long it was going to last. And I really didn't know if we were going to make it. But our team did fantastic. Our team pulled together. Everybody on our team took voluntary 20% furloughs. Our focus was on earning what we try to be, which is the, you know, the employer of choice in our industry. And our focus was on making sure people didn't lose their livelihoods, that families didn't lose livelihoods, that families didn't lose health benefits in that time. And we were largely successful in that effort. We did ultimately get PPP loans and HHS grants and other forms of government aid. And honestly, without that, I don't know how we would have made it through the year, but we did. And at this point, you know, we had a little bit of a wave in January and February of this year. We thought maybe last month we were going to have a little bit, but that didn't materialize. And at this point, we're feeling like California in particular and the health industry in California is pretty well acclimated to COVID. And I don't anticipate more shutdowns of elective surgeries unless there's some crazy new variant which wipes us all out.
I'm not sure we mentioned that yet. Just contextually for our listeners, your market is predominantly Southern California, correct?
Yeah, that's true. I should have mentioned that. Yeah, we cover all the metropolitan areas of Southern California. So our coverage area includes around a population of around 20, 22 million people.
All right. Well, shifting gears a little bit, because I think this furthers that point of specializing in one thing rather than being a generalist. We're talking here in September. I think it was earlier this month that you and 24 Hour Home Care announced a transaction where Grand Care Health Services actually sold its non-medical home care division to 24 Hour Home Care. Could you kind of walk me through the thought process that went into that move?
Sure. Well, I mean, not to sound like a broken record, but it is a continuation of our focus on being the best at orthopedics. And in-home non-medical care is just not something that's a core business for us. There is potentially a lot of overlap. And so, you know, one of the things that caused me to delay as long as we did in getting our private duty business transitioned to somebody else was that, you know, there are situations where it would make sense to be able to provide both medical and non-medical care to a patient. And so we did spend some time trying to sort that out. But what we ultimately decided was our private duty business just wasn't big enough, wasn't strong enough, didn't have the geographic footprint to really be able to support our needs in that regard, and that we were better off partnering with somebody to be able to provide that non-medical portion while we provided the medical portion. And 24 Hour was a perfect fit for us from that standpoint. Like us, they focus on being the best at what they do. They're not trying to do 50 things, they're trying to be the best at one thing. And they are, in my view. They're also recognized as one of the great places to work in senior services in California, like us. So we felt good about transitioning our employees over to them. And, you know, they provide great quality care. So we felt good about transitioning our patients over to them. What I'm really excited about going forward is now we can provide, we through our partnership can provide non-medical care to patients who need it throughout our footprint, and before we could not. Also, we can go into hospitals, including our existing bundle partners and our existing referral relationships, as well as 24 Hours, which, you know, there's some hospitals that they serve that we don't. We can go into both and hopefully provide them with a package option that will benefit both 24 Hour and us by getting us in the door in new places.
And we actually connected right when that deal was announced. And something else I found really interesting was you mentioned how Grand Care Health Services has evolved into really an expert when it comes to bundled payment models and value-based care. Could you tell me a little bit about that? You know, what have been the most important things in your view in order to succeed under those types of payment landscapes?
Sure. Well, you know, first of all, if you're going to be the best at orthopedic rehabilitation, which is mostly knee and hip total joint replacement aftercare, then you better be good at bundles, because that's where a lot of those patients are. And it is, as you probably know, one of the few areas where the data suggests that bundles actually work. They deliver better quality for lower costs. The secret for us is, you know, we understand when we go into a bundle, we're gonna earn less money. And what I always tell my team is, that's okay. First of all, that's a good thing. If you're a taxpayer, if you're a member of our society, that's wonderful. Secondly, we want to be on that train, not under the train. Value-based care isn't a fad. Value-based care is going to continue. We believe that whoever figures out how to do it right and do it best is going to be in a good position to succeed. And so we just keep telling each other, you know, be on the train, not under the train. So we focus on being a good partner. We focus on providing excellent day-to-day communication. We provide data transparency. You know, this is an industry where, you know, our bundles, I should say, are a niche where it's all about quality. It's about metrics. It's about data. And if, you know, you're a company that survives by having better sales and marketing than somebody else, and you're selling vaporware, bundles aren't going to be the place you succeed. You are going to get measured. And if you don't perform, you're going to get fired. That is where we shine. It's not about sales and marketing. It's not about BS. It's not about slogans. It's about producing results. And that's what we love. So, you know, for us, yeah, we have to just keep getting more efficient. We have to keep getting, you know, our processes streamlined, but there's enough money to make money in it. And if you focus on being a good partner and keeping the success of the bundle as your, you know, main priority in dealing with your partner, it's an environment in which people who are good can succeed.
You know, you kicked off that answer by saying you knew you were going to earn less money going into these bundles. I was going to ask, how could you make bundling profitable if you know you're going to earn less money? But it sounds like as long as you focus on value, as long as you focused on high quality care, strong outcomes, then everything kind of just takes care of itself.
Well, I mean, I think it's important to remember you're not going to make money on every patient. You're not going to make money even on every doctor. You may not even make money every year. But, and perhaps I'm naive, but I believe that our bundle partners, look, they're making, you know, they're receiving payments that are on the order of $20,000-$25,000. And some portion of that goes to us. I believe we are an important part of the solution, and they agree. And at the end of the day, they value us, and they're going to make sure that we get enough, not an unfairly high or low amount, to make it worthwhile to support them. And so far, our, you know, confidence in our partners and their confidence in us has been enough to overcome the, you know, the day-to-day ups and downs and fluctuations of reimbursements.
There was actually just a very relevant story, opinion piece published in The Hill, written by two hospital physicians, and they were arguing how more government funding, more reimbursement should be diverted into home-based care for a lot of the reasons that you just echoed. We're going to start kind of winding this conversation down, and I wanted to look beyond Grand Care, kind of look at the home health, home-based care industry overall. David, kind of looking at, you know, reading the tea leaves, so to speak, what excites you most about what you're seeing, maybe even some of the developments that have come up over the past 18 months or so?
Sure. Well, I mean, I think the trends are great. If I know your question is about the future, but briefly, I'll say that, you know, where we've come in the last few years is fantastic. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, most patients who were getting joints were going to skilled nursing facilities, which is just not a great setting for them to get the care they need. Many were being readmitted due to failures in care, not just from skilled nursing facilities, but from home health as well. And those numbers have just gotten tremendously better. I think that's fantastic. I think, though, that we are, you know, I don't know, a half or a third or a quarter of where we need to get to and where we will get to in the next 5 years. So in terms of the trends going forward, I think we're going to see, first of all, you know, the demographics are great. We're seeing, you know, growing baby boom population, all the data that everybody knows. An orthopedics is positioned to, you know, succeed probably even more, because that is disproportionately a procedure that is common among the senior population. We're also likely to see a pretty significant continuation in drops in reimbursements and, you know, honestly, appropriately so. They were too high a few years ago and, you know, they still have probably a ways to go. We're going to see an increase in volumes and we're going to see it becoming harder and harder for generalist home health agencies to compete because it is a specialized area and you better be good at it and you're going to get measured. And if you're sending out people who spend all day long taking care of cardiac patients to take care of your orthopedic patient, you're not going to be optimizing that way. So I think that one of the trends we're going to see is that this area will increasingly be controlled by specialists like us. And so those are the trends that I see in terms of the market. You know, obviously there are trends related to M&A transactions and money coming into our industry. I don't know if those will continue or not, but I do think that from a fundamental societal standpoint, the trends are great because they are resulting in fewer people having, you know, negative outcomes, which, you know, sounds like a number, but it means people's lives go off the rails. And if you're 80 and your life goes off the rails, that's not good. So I feel great about how orthopedics are headed right now.
On the flip side, what keeps you up at night? What do you see as some of the biggest challenges to Grand Care success moving forward, to the success of, you know, the home health industry overall moving forward?
Yes. Well, you know, every night it's a different thing, to be honest. But I worry right now, what I'm worrying about is our ability to keep up with growth. You know, last year I worried about, you know, how are we going to keep the doors open? This year I'm worried about how do we keep up with growth? So that's probably the main thing right now. I worry about how we as a company are going to be able to invest as much as we need to take advantage of the opportunity that's in front of us. It's a big opportunity and there's just a huge need for, you know, better technology to handle this this specific niche. There's a bunch of people out there building home health software, but that doesn't really help orthopedics specifically. And so I think there's a huge opportunity there. This is 20% of the market. It can't just be something that's handled by, you know, generalist agencies or generalist software.
And I think lastly, could you maybe just preview Grand Care Health Services plans for the remainder of 2021? And we're so close to next year at this point. Maybe preview a little bit of what's in store for Grand Care in 2022.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, you know, some things won't change. We're going to be focusing on orthopedics. We're going to be investing in improving that technology that we have for streamlining our operations. But we are really trying to fill out our footprint. What I'm really focused on right now are capturing two types of efficiencies, becoming more efficient because by taking advantage of the fact that we're a specialist. So, you know, optimizing our systems and also becoming more efficient because we build out efficient levels of density of service within all the metropolitan areas of Southern California. We serve all the metropolitan areas, but we don't serve them all efficiently yet. And so that is something that I hope, you know, we will have addressed by the end of next year.
I've been chatting with Grand Care Health Services CEO David Bell. David, thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Disrupt.
All right. Thanks very much, Bob.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Disrupt. For more news and insights on the home health, home care, and hospice industries, subscribe to our daily or weekly newsletters at homehealthcarenews.com. I'm Robert Holly, and this has been a production of Aging Media Network, Chicago, Illinois.